Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look in the Word of God with us, beginning at, Psalm 104, starting at verse 12. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. Then Psalm 50, verse 11. But those who hope in, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Psalm 50, verse 11. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. Matthew chapter 13, verse 32. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet it grows. It is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Then Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verses 25 to 33, Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful blessing, privilege, and honor it is for us to walk in the wisdom of your word and just continually. Lord, thank you for your wisdom, which teaches us to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Lord, with every passing day, help us to walk more in the wisdom of that truth. Help us to grow in our understanding of what it means and how we live it out in every area of our lives. More and more, show us your glory as we learn how and as we live this out. Fill us afresh with your spirit, your joy, and your peace today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are our hiding place. You are our strength. And Heavenly Father, I'll be one of the first to admit that we don't come to you as often as we should, that we get distracted and we let our eyes wander. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'd grow us in that as a consistent habit, as a consistent mindset, as a state of being, that we would be present and hiding in your presence. And Heavenly Father, I pray that that start right here and right now, that we'd lay aside our worries of the world, and that we'd focus on you and what you have for us right now. Thank you so much. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to remind our listeners that, again, our Ten Commandments Project is an ongoing discipleship project for children and youth, and very encouraged about the great response we had for the speech challenge, that part of the project. But keep in mind that the part of the project whereby a young person can win a Ten Commandments t-shirt is ongoing all year long. Again, if they simply memorize the Ten Commandments and recite them to dad or mom or granddad or grandmom or whoever, whatever responsible adult that they might be working with, a youth director or otherwise, if they memorize them and are able to recite them to you as that parent or adult, all we need from you is a phone call and their size and a mailing address. And whenever you present it, we ask, and in fact, we definitely want to ask you, always make a big deal about presenting the shirt to them, because it is a big deal. Planting God's word in the hearts of our children and youth is much more important than I think any of us fully grasp. So this is a discipleship project. We ask that you pray for the project and pray for God to expand it, that we can reach more and more youth planting God's word. And we know that, you know, obviously, any young person, in order to be saved, you need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. But the planting of the Word of God along with salvation in the hearts of children is an ongoing discipleship effort that needs to be emphasized in the body of Christ. So pray for this project, and we invite you to continue to get involved. It can involve your children, your grandchildren, nephews, nieces, young people that you may work with, but we invite you to do just that. We're honored to have with us once again Michael Pink. He's a Christian businessman, the author of the book Free as a Bird, as well as the author of many other books as well. Michael, how are you today?
Well, brother, I am blessed beyond measure, more than I deserve, and I'm so glad and honored, honestly, to be with you, to hear the heart of Isaac, and to hear your heart and the love for the Father. I pray that reaches out to everyone listening to us today.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks again for being with us again, Michael. And if you would, once again, take time. Many of our listeners probably remember your name from past broadcasts, but some may not. Reintroduce yourself and tell our listeners about who you are. And, of course, tell them how they can get in touch with you and connect with your ministries, I should say, plural then, so as well, please.
Well, sure. Thank you for that. I head up something called the Jesus School of Business, which you can find that at jesusschoolofbusiness.com. I host a biweekly master class to teach people about the things of God and invite them to participate and become enrolled in the Jesus School of Business. That's a major focus for me. I spent a lot of years doing consulting and training all over the world, mostly United States, but other countries. And the Lord has got me now just to be focusing on helping the individuals to get what they need and provide the training. He's opened my eyes to so many things, including the passage that you were reading from. It's so profound to me. I learned something the other day, Joseph, that I never thought of it this way. But people have little businesses, sometimes big businesses that they're trying to run, that they want to start. They have visions, they have dreams, and they may even want to do it God's way. And they open the Bible and they look and they say, I don't see business lessons in here. I see how to be a good person, how to connect with God. I see about prayer, but I don't know business. Well, he does show us that. It is there. Not only does he teach us out of the Old Testament some very specific strategies that I talk about from Solomon and others, but also he does something masterful. Because as I said earlier today to somebody, that if you were to take everything that God knows about business, every kind of business that you could have, everything that could be done, and spell it all out, there wouldn't be room enough to write all the volumes down. Mm-hmm. I think there'd be so much. They estimate that there's literally millions of business books and economic books that have been written, literally, and published in the last 100 years. Millions is the estimate. And so that's a lot of books that man has come up with. So imagine what God could do, even if he got rid of the redundant stuff. So what he did was this. He gave you some places to look, because when you look in the scriptures and you meditate on the word of God, it's, as it says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season. His leaf also will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. So there's something there about just meditating in the word. Why? Because the word is, as it says in John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is God. And he came and he lived and he dwelt among us. And so we beheld his glory, John said, the glories of the only begotten. And so what we know is that when we meditate on his Word, when we spend our time marinating our mind in it and are letting it soak and drip down into our heart, it communicates to us because his Word is alive. His Word is not ink on paper. It is the person of Jesus Christ. It is his Spirit put in printed form, but it is still his Spirit. He makes it come alive. And so when we do that, we get to learn so much from him and about him, and it's magnificent. And so we learn that way. But then we also can learn from what you just read out of Matthew 6, because Jesus, knowing that people, and he says in a space of about 7 or 8 verses, three times he says, maybe it's 9 verses, three times he says, do not worry. I mean, he says it like 3 times, almost back to back. Do not worry, a couple of verses. Do not worry, a couple of verses. Do not worry. So obviously people are worried. They're worried about finances. They're worried about money. They're worried about provision. They're worried about all those things. And he says, okay, let me explain to you a few things. First of all, he says, let me show you the birds. You see those birds over there? They're not planting seed in the farm. They're not working the fields. They're not reaping any harvest. They don't store it all in the barns. The Heavenly Father feeds them every single day. In fact, we know now that there's some 50 billion birds on the planet. He feeds every one of them multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. And then we worry about our provision? It's crazy. We don't need to worry about it. And then he says, hey, let me give you another business clue. I'm going to show you something. You can learn from the birds and you can study, because the birds have amazing things. They have 13 laws of foraging that I found out. They have a certain habit they do every single day that enables them to fly effortlessly. They have certain things that they do in the morning to set the tone for the day. They have morning declarations. They do all these habits, and they forage like 13 different strategies. They have a lot of different things, and you can learn from it. Say, well, there's never a group of birds you see sitting over in the park bench thinking, well, I'm just waiting for the handouts today. They don't have it, because they do what they were designed to do. So that's amazing. But then he goes another step further to those who love gardens. And he says, look at that, right? He actually says, consider the lilies of the field. And lilies are a beautiful flower. There's several different kinds of lilies, of course. But anyway, he says, consider the lilies of the field. And then the next three words are the most powerful instructive words of this whole section, in my opinion. He says, how they grow. He didn't say, consider the lilies of the field. Aren't they pretty? He could have. He made them. He didn't say, consider the lilies of the field. Smell them. Smell the fragrance they give off. Isn't that wonderful? He said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. In fact, the Amplified version says, learn thoroughly how they grow. And so that infers that there's a process. There's a system. He says, it goes on to say that they don't spin. They don't toil. They don't spin. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And so look how so well taken care of. How do they do that? Well, if you want to know how the flower is so well taken care of and so beautifully adorned, learn how they grow. That's what he's telling him to do. Consider how they grow. Well, when you do that, you find out that the laws of business are inextricably connected to the laws of nature. And when you study the things that God made, as Paul said in Romans 1, he said that the hidden things of God from the creation of the world are clearly revealed, are clearly seen by the things he made, even his eternal power and his divine nature or his divine attributes. And so we know that that's there. And so I would tell people, if you want to learn and say, how do I get out of any financial duress? Look in the scriptures, meditate in the word, marinate your mind in the word, the beautiful word of God, and then learn and study.
I think I'm going to need to jump in here, right here, and pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest is Michael Pink. He's the author of the book, Free as a Bird. We'll be right back.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth. A holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word filled now. Come on.
Sent down from glory.
Many things you were on earth. A holy king, a carpenter. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Bread of heaven.
Sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were.
The music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest is Michael Pink. He's a Christian businessman and an author of the book Free as a Bird. And Michael, as we begin this segment, I want to ask, would you pray for our listeners that they would be able to hear and receive all that the Lord wants them to receive through the broadcast today, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Heavenly Father, as I come before you right now in that beautiful name of Jesus, and there are people that are sitting on the other end of this listening, maybe they're driving, maybe they're sitting at home, maybe they're in a hospital room, but they're somewhere, and they've tuned in, and they're hoping to hear something from you, something that touches them, something that is real. And Lord, everything you say, every word you've ever uttered is real, is powerful, is life-giving, and I pray that you will be glorified in this and that you will reach into their hearts, into their lives, and apply what they need to hear from what we are able to discuss today. And I pray you bless them, open their ears and their heart to receive the engrafted word of God in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Michael, I wanted to ask if you back up just a tad bit, and you use the word birds foraging for food. Can you define or explain what you mean by that phrase?
Yes, I'd be glad to. There are a number of strategies that birds use to forage. And forage means to search around for provisions like food. And they're looking for food. So a robin will walk along the grass and then he'll cock his head and he'll listen for the sound, believe it or not, of an earthworm making its way to the surface. A wren will go through the forest floor and through the leaf litter on the forest floor and listen for the sound of a spider or some insect crawling along the floor. And they're just scratching around. A sparrow might be at the neighborhood outdoor restaurant looking for crumbs that may come its way. They're foraging. They're looking for food that it can find. And every day, birds go looking for the food because God doesn't throw it in the nest. But what they do is they act consistent with the way that God designed them. You will never see a robin diving for fish, mm-hmm. nor will you see an eagle or an osprey digging for worms. Mm-hmm. They find the food that God prepared for them. They search for it the way God told them. And they don't know, for example, where they're going to find it. They just know that they will find it. They know, mm-hmm. for example, if they're a woodpecker, they're going to find it in a tree. They don't know which tree. And so they go from tree to tree. But what they do know is by the end of the day, they and their family will be fed, and they look for it every single day, confident that it is there, and they will find it.
So would it be correct to say that another word for forage would be their unique strategy that God gives them for finding food? Would that be another way to say it?
Well, certainly. God's given them a variety of strategies, and I talk about 13 different ones in the book Free as a Bird, mm-hmm. which I hope people will go to Amazon and get Free as a Bird by Michael Pink. There's more than one book by that title. But you'll learn, like, what are the ways that God designed into birds that are very creative that you look at, you go, oh, my goodness, I could be doing that. That's a great strategy for finding provision. Because God doesn't throw it in the nest, but they never go hungry. And so you learn that they do certain things. They forage every single day. Every day they're going out and they're looking and they're doing the things they need to do, but they never go without. They're mm-hmm. always taken care of. And they spend a lot of time sitting on the trees, chirping with each other, flying around, having a pretty good life, actually. Mm-hmm. They know that they're going to be taken care of.
Well, so, Michael, would you say then that one of your goals behind the message of the book is to help people see that just as God takes care of the birds with different strategies depending on the particular kind of bird, that you're saying he's entrusting each one of us with gifts and skills and abilities that can help provide for us as well. Is that another way to put that?
Well, it certainly is within the space of that, because God does, that's in the realm of design. Mm-hmm. God has designed, put something, gifts in you. Like Isaac is so gifted with the technical parts of doing the production and behind the scene things. Mm-hmm. That's a gifting that I don't have. I could learn those things, but he does it with such a grace that it's just a beautiful thing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain things that people have that are, for them, this is the way that they need to find the provision that God has, because your provision is laid beside your purpose. And so if your purpose or your calling is in the ministry, then say, okay, well, Lord, whereabouts and who to whom and all those kinds of things. If you're in the business arena, you still say, well, Lord, what business do you want me to go into? And, well, I'm particularly good at this or that, whatever the thing is. And you start to go towards what you're gifted at, what you're capable of. And when you go in there, you're going to find that the provision is there for you. But if I try to make it right now as a singer, it won't happen unless somebody just wants to give me because of the merciful. But so anyway, yeah, it's the gifting thing that you have, and then you flow with it, and you act in those things, and you hone them. One thing birds do, they spend a lot of time preening. Mm-hmm. They spend more time, when that means preening, means cleaning their feathers, aligning them, fixing things that are broken, replacing whatever they have to do to make sure that the feathers are perfectly aligned before they fly. And they'll spend 2 to 8 times more time oiling their feathers, preening their feathers, correcting them, cleaning them, all those things, than they actually do flying. But when they fly, it's a thing of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that's good for us. We need to say, well, Lord, you've called me into, let's say it's a profession of sales. I need to spend time learning that. I need to hone that skill. You've called me into, it can be any number of opportunities, a bookkeeping business, a welding, whatever it is. Then say, okay, Lord, teach me, how do I do this with excellence? And you preen, or you perfect, or you develop that skill. And in the doing of it, you find your provision.
All right. Well, Michael, let me ask you this question. So if someone who is listening now may be saying to themselves, well, that sounds wonderful and beautiful, but I have no idea what God is calling me to do, and I don't see, not only do I know what it is, I don't know how it could possibly help me to make income as well. Would you share with them, Michael, why getting the book can be helpful to them?
Yeah, I'll be happy to share that. First of all, it's important for us, you know, most people think, I don't know what I need to do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what God wants me to do. And that's not an uncommon question that people have. But there are a few questions that you could ask, and we talk about them in the book. You know, basically, for example, one of the things you want to know is, well, what do people notice about you and compliment you on that you're good at? Like, maybe you don't even know it because it comes so natural to you, but they say, you have such a way with words, or such a good voice, or you're so skilled at this. Like, I notice Isaac, and I notice the professional care that he gives and what he does. It just feels like top rate to me. And so I noticed that about him. So there's something connected there. And so you look and say, well, what do other people notice about me, number one? Number two, what do I do that makes me feel like I'm looking forward to getting up in the morning and doing it again? I know somebody that's a welder. It's very hard work. They don't look forward to getting up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning and driving an hour and a half to some place to work in 110-degree temperatures with equipment that's so hot and protective and sweat like crazy all day and come back. But it pays really good money for them. They're making, you know, thousands of dollars a week. So they do it, but they hate it. It's like hard. It's brutal. And they don't look forward to getting up in the morning. Wouldn't it be nice if you said, well, what is it that instead of that, which depletes you, what is it that makes you feel the opposite? Like, I can hardly wait to get up in the morning and get started again. I'm so looking forward. It's going to be so good. What's that? That's one clue that may be related. I'm not talking about going, you know, fishing or swimming at the lake, but what thing that brings value to other people do you like? Next is what really, really, really bothers you? Like, you think, wait a minute, that's an injustice, and I got to do something about it. Is there something like that that is a burr in your saddle. It's something that says, I cannot allow that. I cannot stomach that. I cannot let stand by. That might be a clue to your calling. It, you know, for me, it's like I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And so I cannot have conversations with people without at least asking the Father, do you want me to tell them about you in this particular conversation? How do you want me to proceed? Because I know that the Son of God came to seek and to save that which was lost. Mm-hmm. And so I'm about my Father's business just like Jesus was, and I care about that. And so if you don't know what you're supposed to do, whatever, what I would say is, first of all, what door is open to you? And walk through that and see. As you're going, it's hard to steer. It's actually impossible to steer a parked car. So you think, well, I don't know whether I should, you know, have a career in sales or start my own business. Well, what door is opening for you right now? Go in that one and begin to traverse down that trail, trusting that God will steer you and create something. Because sometimes God will direct you in a path that you feel like, I don't really want to do that, but it's training. You do it, you'll be thankful for it. So if you get the book, and I encourage you to do so, you're going to learn God's ways. You're going to learn how to know your design. See, you're designed a certain way. God designed you with certain abilities, certain skills. Mm-hmm. He also, the Bible says in Psalm 33, I think it's verse 12, that he formed or fashioned your heart individually. Formed your heart individually. So it means like with an architectural blueprint level care, specifically you. And Ephesians 2:10 says that there are good works prepared beforehand for you to walk in. And so your responsibility is to say, God, what do you want me to walk in? And then go with that piece and do it. And you know what? You might make a mistake. You might go down a path and, well, this thing can pay me a lot of money. I think I want that. And you know what? Maybe it will. But maybe you go down there, you go, realize this is not, I don't feel the pleasure of God on this. Mm-hmm. And you learn to sense that. And so I would encourage people to do that. And you're going to find that and much more inside the book.
Mm. Well, would it be accurate to say also, too, that like, of course, putting our faith to work is all entwined in every aspect of this, in that because, of course, the Bible tells us the just shall live by faith, and that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So one of the goals would be, and tell me if this is correct, though, you mentioned when people notice certain things about us, they notice or comment on ways they see something outstanding in our gifts, our strengths, our abilities then. So we trust God that God is helping us to better see who we are, and we act on that. Would it be correct to say then that that's a part of our faith journey in learning what our specific calling is?
Absolutely. When I was a young man, all I knew, and I'm talking, you know, in my teens, I just got a job because I got out of high school and I got a job. And mm-hmm. I went to whatever job I could get. And then I heard, oh, this company pays more. And I went to that company. I was just a kid. I didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. And then, but I realized at one point that I wanted to go into sales. And so I did. And I realized that I feel like somehow in the business arena, this feels right for me. Mm-hmm. And I want to be in that arena. And I had to start off, you know, at the bottom of the rung. But in that, I learned the things that I needed that were necessary. Most importantly, I learned how to depend on God, how to hear him. And I would ask him things. You know, we know that Solomon got a lot of Proverbs. We know that. And James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally, without chastising, without upbraiding them, it says, without, you know, talking down to them, basically. And so, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed and fro, you know, to and fro. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord, because he's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. So you don't want to be that. But so I said, well, Lord, I want wisdom like Solomon. And I'm waiting for him. And I'm going to tell you, if you learn how to wait on the Lord, which is just quiet down, listen, have a humble heart and go before him. The very first, he's given me many, but the very first proverb that he ever gave me was this. It said, in the skeletal remains of many a worthy plan. And that God's basically his provision are, it says, in the valley of indecision, was the full of that, excuse me, in the valley of indecision, lay the skeletal remains of any worthy plan. In other words, people have, I've got this idea. And you know what? They can't make up their mind. They don't know which way to go. And they hesitate and hesitate and hesitate and hesitate. And that beautiful, worthy, good plan, not perfect, but good, lays in Death Valley. Mm-hmm. And God said, in the valley of indecision, like the skeletal remains of many worthy plans. So that was profound. It shaped my life. But I'll tell you, he's given me more. So you can learn how to sit with the Father and say, teach me. Teach mm-hmm. me your word. Show me that. And he will do so, and he will direct your steps. And when you don't even know, which is where most of my directions come from, when I didn't even know I was being directed, until I look back and realize, oh my gosh, he was directing me all this way. So he directs you when you're looking, and he directs you when you're not. He loves you, and he cares for you, and he will be faithful to complete the work that he began in you.
Amen. Amen. You know, I think of this too, that, you know, the word tells us, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We need to be mindful that pursuing our calling is not only important for being fulfilled as well as providing for us, it builds the kingdom of God, it glorifies the Father, and God's will gets done in the world as well. So important truths for us as believers to be mindful of. Well, we're coming up on a break, and on the other side, I'm going to ask that you'll pray for the church to encourage people to pursue their callings more as well, but we'll pick up there. Our phone guest today is Michael Pink. He's a Christian businessman and author of the book, one of many books, but this one we're talking about is the book Free as a Bird. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, like a your name that tears down walls, and every enemy will fall. So we will stand and we will fight, that every wrong would be made right. There is power in this room. Oh, I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's life.
Music, the music of Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Once again, our phone guest today is Michael Pink. He's a Christian businessman and author of the book Free as a Bird. Michael, as we begin this final segment, would you pray for the church, that the church would really encourage every believer to pursue their specific calling from the Lord?
Yeah, for sure. Father, right now, as I think about the men and women listening to this broadcast, that you would awaken in them and reignite the destiny that you've placed in them, that you created them for, that they would see it, that they would at least know that it's there, and they would follow that nudge, they would follow that inclination and step into it, that the hesitation would be removed, that they would walk away from the hesitation and they say, Lord, I'm going this direction as far as I know, as best I know, because I sense that you're in it. And as they go after that direction, you will guide them and lead them in the way that they should go. So I pray that the destiny and the call of God and every man, every woman that you made with purpose, you made them with purpose, will be awakened this day. And they would prepare themselves to step fully into the call and destiny of God in their life. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And would you share once again with our listeners, if someone wants to get the book Free as a Bird or any of your other books, how can they do that?
Well, it's one simple thing. They can go to my website, michaelpink.com, and they can learn about me and see some of the books I have there. But the simplest way to get Free as a Bird, if you want to get it quick and maybe get free shipping and that kind of thing, is go to amazon.com and put Free as a Bird by Michael Pink. you will thank me for it. I promise you, you will thank me for that. It is the most amazing piece of work I've ever done. So I want to encourage you to go there and get that. If you want to learn more about what I do, you want to know more about the school, the Jesus School of Business.com, you can go there and find out, hey, how does the Word of God and the things that God made, how does that fit into business? How do I run my business that way? Because God has 100% success rate, but I don't. So how do I do that? You're going to learn that by being part of that. So I encourage you to go to michaelpink.com. That'll hook you up with the Jesus School, and you can also from there find where you go to get Free as a Bird, or go directly to Amazon if you prefer.
All right. Share the title of your book about the rainforest once again. What is that title?
Yeah, that book is called Rainforest Strategy. Rainforest Strategy. And it's the planet's most successful business model. Zig Ziglar wrote the foreword to the book. It's an amazing book. And it teaches some of the mystery and the majesty of the rainforest and how the secrets of God are embedded in the things that he made and how that can help you thrive in the marketplace just by forget about all the highfalutin, you know, business college stuff, much of which doesn't do much good. And just look at what God made and say, how do I imitate you? How do I take your wisdom that you embedded in the trees of the forest and to take those secrets out and apply them to my life, job, and business? It's amazing. And I think people will really love that.
Okay. I want to invite you, just for the balance of our time, to share any additional insights you're wanting to share about the topic of the book.
Well, a couple of things I want to share. First of all, let me lay this out. As I was studying the scripture the other day, and I came across, behold, in 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And when I began to dig into that a little deeper, when it says behold, it means like, don't miss this. And then it says, what manner of love, which in the Greek, it's the idea of like, what country is this from? Like, is this from another planet? This is not what is done on planet Earth. This is not human love. It's right. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, freely and generously given to us, that we should be called children of God. And it's so powerful because if a king can grant forgiveness. A king can, you know, grant that. But that's one thing. It's a whole other thing. When a king pardons you, that's one thing. When a king adopts you, that's a different ballgame. And so understand your position, that you've been adopted, you've been born into the kingdom of God. It's a very beautiful thing. And then, if you look at, and I was studying this today, in Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10, it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Jesus. And it says, and you, here's six words, ready? And you are complete in him. And so many people feel like, well, I'm not really accepted. Yes, you are. I'm not really righteous. Yes, you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not really this, that, the other thing. No, you are complete in him. When you understand that, and I would to God that I would have known years ago, but I didn't. But when you do, it changes a lot of things. So I want to encourage you, for example, years ago, quick story, and this is many years ago. This is in the mid-80s, 1984. And I had moved to Toronto, Canada, and I had a job in sales, straight commission, and I didn't have any money. I had no money. And I took a bus. I didn't even have a vehicle. I took a bus, a Greyhound bus across the country, took a job in straight sales, had $100 cash, got off the bus depot downtown Toronto with no place to stay and $100, which will get you a hotel for a night. And I'm on foot with three boxes with all my worldly possessions that I had left. That's it. That's all I had. And in that group of possessions was some books, by the way. But anyway, that's all I had. And I ended up reaching out to a brother I hadn't spoken to in a long time, my half-brother. And I stayed with him, and I got a cash advance from my employer and leased a car, and I'm ready to go. So I'm working, but month after month after month, I'm barely making a living. I'm scratching it out. And after a few months, I said, Lord, I get up in the morning, I have toast and peanut butter. And then I might make myself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch and eat that with me during the day. And then I get home from work and I have more peanut butter and some apple juice. And I kind of live off of peanut butter and jelly, peanut butter and lettuce, peanut butter and cucumber, but peanut butter primarily and some kind of cheap bread. And after a while, I said, God, I'm tired of living off of peanut butter. I'm broke all the time and I'm tired of it. And he said to me, and this is important for everybody. Now, listen, everybody, you're listening, tune back in. Tune back in. Listen. He said, have you ever run out of peanut butter? And I said, well, no, sir. Do you know why you've never run out of peanut butter? I said, no, sir. He said, because you have peanut butter faith. You're confident that you're going to have enough money to buy peanut butter and jelly, peanut butter and bread, peanut butter and lettuce, whatever it is, peanut butter and pickles maybe. But you're pretty sure that you're going to have enough. You've got enough of that. You're not going to run out of that. That's what you believe for. And that's why you have it. That's all you're believing for. That's all you're getting. And I thought, wow. I mean, I can believe for something else. So I decided that day I was going to elevate my faith to something I call pork chop faith. I want some pork chops. I want some lamb chops. I want some vegetables. I want some potatoes. I'm going to eat like a regular person. And I went to the grocery store and I bought regular vegetables. And I brought them home and I began to eat meat and vegetables, not just peanut butter sandwiches. And you know what? I found out that I never ran out of pork chops. I never ran out of lamb chops. I never ran out of meat. I never ran out of sandwich meat. I never ran out. It's like, huh, I elevated my faith from peanut butter faith to what I affectionately call pork chop faith. And there was something there that I realized that my God loves me and I'm living at a subsistence level because that's all I was believing for. And I was not ready to say, well, there we go. That's the secret. I'm going to eat out at the finest restaurants every day. Because I didn't really have that level of belief. But for some reason, I could go from peanut butter faith to pork chop faith. And I did. And I never looked back. And after a while, I said, you know what? I think I want some good steaks. And after a while, I discovered something called, and it was a name I hadn't heard before, called filet mignon and ribeye and things like that. And I found out that as I began to trust God and believe him, I could eat better. And then I learned about healthy eating and all those other things. So my point is that in that story, I learned something from Romans 8:32. This was right around the time that this all happened, where it says, for he, speaking of God, for he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, Paul's saying, if God would give us his son, to die on a cross for you and for me, how was it possible that you would even consider that he would not freely give you anything? And I thought about that. I thought, I still was afraid to ask for too much, but I at least felt like I could ask for pork chops and you know, go to the, and I didn't just ask. I didn't wait for somebody to deliver them to the door. I just went to the store and bought them and trusted that, you know, I was going to be at a new level. And I was. And so I want to encourage people. Maybe you're living on pork chop faith. Maybe you're living on peanut butter faith. Maybe for you, it's, I don't know, whatever the foods are, macaroni and cheese all the time. That can go a long way. I'm going to tell you, you're probably living a level below what you need to. God loves you. He loves you. And he's got plans for you that'll take you far beyond that. And I want to encourage you, once you know he loves you, and you walk in his love, and you're comfortable and confident in his love, the world becomes your oyster and life gets a whole lot better, even though there are still challenges along the way.
Amen. Amen. Would you take just 30 seconds to pray, whatever's on your heart, to pray for our listeners before we close our time?
Absolutely, Father. Right now, there's people that have heard my story. I shortened it down, Lord. You know, I could have told it a lot longer, but there are people right now that are in this place of need, maybe even feeling a little desperation. And they're looking at your word that says, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, but their need doesn't seem to be met. And yet, Lord, you promised that. So where is it? Well, Lord, you provided it. You cannot lie. So I pray that their eyes will be open to see what the provision that you have, because it is impossible for you to lie, and it is impossible for them to have a problem and a challenge that there doesn't come with it, an opportunity that equals or exceeds the measure of the adversity they have. So open their eyes, help them to know that adversity and opportunity are joined at the hip, and you are their provider. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much once again, Michael, for being with us today. And please just continue to keep running for the Lord as you do. Praise God.
Brother, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Keep in mind, the single most important decision in all of life is the decision to choose to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. If you've never made that step, would you from your heart make that step with us today? I'd like to invite you to simply pray this prayer with us from your heart and invite Him to come in to make you brand new, to save you so that your destiny will be eternal life in heaven with us. Would you pray with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you. Help me to read the Bible every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to live in the wisdom of your word every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ today as we were going through this broadcast, would you email us and let us know? We'd like to share with you some literature, some resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Again, we hope to hear from you. Please pray much for our brother, Brother Michael Pink, as he continues to serve the Lord as a Christian businessman and a kingdom warrior as he does. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.